Hey, how's it going, Eric?
Good man, how are you? Welcome.
Oh, yeah, had a hell of a day. Looking forward to like a quiet evening, I really am. It's
Okay.
been one of those.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the podcast, dude. It's Andrew,
Thank
right?
you for having me. Yeah, Andrew, yeah. Although I sort of go by my surname a lot of the time, Lo, that's what most people call me.
Okay. Yeah, that's what your YouTube channel is called too. Very
The
simple.
Pretty much, yeah. Tis what it is. The
Yeah, I love it. I found your channel, I think from a comment you made on Kicking Mustangs.
okay,
Something, yeah, something about Kicking Mustang or I found your channel on there and I reached out to you just a couple days ago. And then we set this up.
It was a bit of a surprise, I must admit. I mean, I'm a bit of a nobody, really, in the grand scheme of things, but
Oh, me
it's.
too, bro. Yeah, for
Nice
real.
to have the invite, nevertheless.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love meeting new people. And this podcast started well, it's grown into a way to get people's stories out there. And this is a passion of mine. It turned into, so a way for me to give back to the community. And when I came out of my illness, I was paralyzed for a little while with an illness, and that's how this channel started. And then the podcast started with talking with people through Discord and things like that, some of our viewers from YouTube channel. And it became like a therapy for me. It really helped me through a bad time, talking with people and hearing their stories. And so this was a way when I made it an official podcast and kind of got the mission in my heart, I guess, about what to do with this was I want to give back. And what I can do is talk to people. I really love doing that in real life anyway. Hearing people's stories, like how they got to where they're at, now and kind of get those stories out there because I was starting to get into the family tree stuff and really, big on family and when I was coming out of this illness and everything. And so that's kind of how this started and became my passion. And yeah, dude. So it's been great. But yeah, I love meeting new people and I appreciate you being on.
No, you're
Yeah.
welcome. You're more than welcome. Like I say, thank you for the invite. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Let me give a shout out to the sponsors of this episode real quick. We've got Skirmish is a data tracking system for playing airsoft. And it's been out for a couple few years now. Brandon, who started it, him and his buddy went to a Milsim event, and partway through the Milsim, they were sitting there thinking, "I wonder what the score is." Like, I wonder, like, I we nobody has no idea what's going on, and so he came up with a system where you tap this bracelet on checkpoint boxes or
I
takeover
see.
points, or if you have to revive somebody, you can hold it for a certain amount of seconds, whatever. And what it does, it goes on a he built a website for it that tracks in real time, live, while the game's going on. You can see everything that's happening as far as checkpoints,
Oh,
and
wow.
it has an overlay of the map and everything. So who's taking over this objective, who's capturing whatever kind of prisoner or terrorist or something like that. Like, it's all kind of different things he can do with the boxes that he made. So it's starting to take off. I don't know if you ever heard of a Balahack airsoft.
No, can't
So
say I have, though.
Balahack is a swamp sniper, is a sniper that started a YouTube channel years ago. He's up there with like Novrich and Kiki Mustang and all these guys. So he started his own fields on his own property. He's been hosting events for a while, has huge events, 1,200 people at an event. And all kind of different crazy events. Well, anyway, Balahack just started using the system for people to track all their, info on the field and stuff. So it's pretty cool. Shout out Skirmish. Go to skirmish.net if you want to find out more. And then the other sponsor is Jackal Tactical. They are a airsoft field and storefront up in Pennsylvania in the United States. And Paul Whitman, I've had him on the podcast recently. He's the owner, and he also runs Otherworld Milsim up out of that area. So they host big events like Milsims, and so they're another sponsor. So go to jacktac.com to check them out as well. but appreciate the sponsors. But yeah, man, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself and kind of give a background on yourself and then how you got into Airsoft?
Yeah. I'm Andrew, as I say, sort of known as Low, as it were. How did I get into Airsoft? I've been a shooter all my life. So, I mean, obviously, as I'm sure you're aware, like in the UK, firearms, it's a bit of a tricky thing.
You got to have like a certain license for like a sporting.
Yeah, so there's certain requirements that you need to fulfill in order to have a real firearm. But air weapons, not so much airsoft, but like air rifles. Mm-hmm. Certainly, when I was a bit younger, were far less regulated. It's the sort of thing that you could shoot in your back garden. When I was sort of 17, 18, I used to do what was known as field target shooting, which is like a competitive sort of sport using air guns, where you have like a series of targets. They're like metal knockdown ones. They've got like a plate. It's usually cut out in the shape of an animal. And then there's a kill zone. So you have to hit the kill zone essentially to knock the target over. Mm. And you get scored and you go through like a series of these targets. And then the last five are usually what they call the eliminators. And the kill zone is like microscopic,
really tiny,
really tiny. But and it's to sort the wheat from the chaff. Do you know what I mean? So
for sure. And how far? Like what kind of distance are you guys shooting?
20 so feet. It'd be anything from typically sort of
10, 5 meters,
sort
or
of,
something.
Yeah, 5 to sort of 55 meters. So you know, for an air gun, that was, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, air gun rounds will go a lot further, but sort of accurately, you know, accurate shooting was pretty tough. So that was sort of my background, and I used to do that for a while. Then I ended up going off to university, and unfortunately my dad, who had my rifle at the time, ended up lending the rifle to somebody who then moved and the rifle disappeared, and it was like that was the end of that for a while.
Now, the air rifle, was that like a pump?
Or what? No, it was an underlever. It was an Air Arms TX200, which, believe it or not, they still make.
Really?
To this day. Yeah. You can still get them. Yeah. It's a really sort of popular rifle, Springer. But at that point in time, I actually had also for the back garden a Tokyo Marui XM177, which was actually a Springer. It was a pump action Springer. so I was kind of aware of airsoft, but I never really played it, so to speak. Then cue life getting in the way, doing all sorts of things, and then I happened to see one day that a friend had posted something about a CQB site that was pretty close, and I was like, you know what, I fancy this, all right, let's go get a new toy and go see what we can do. And so yeah, I started off with this little CQB place, absolute hurt locker.
You got welts, okay?
You're coming away like, you know, BBs, like, you know, bouncing off your face. Oh, it's, you know, but the way I looked at it is, look, if I can deal with this, I can deal with anything, you know. And so yeah, I then started getting into sort of woodland games. And I've got to give credit to Mustang, obviously, seeing his videos on YouTube. It was like, okay, I fancy getting involved with a bolt action, you know, I think I can do this. And oh my God, what a learning curve that was. Because I mean, like, everybody always says, you know, do not get a bolt action rifle as your first rifle, because, you know, what you see on the videos compared to what actually happens on a game day, you know, the two things are sort of like poles apart.
Absolutely.
You know, don't get me wrong, it was fun. I mean, I'm kind of used to steep learning curves and sort of going through the grind. I've been a martial artist, you know, for donkeys years. So always sort of like that sort of, you know, fall down 7 times, get up 8 kind of attitude. That's always been in me. So I was like, look, you know, I'm going to suck. I know that. I'm just going to keep sucking until one day I don't, you know.
And that's right. There
and
you
that,
go.
That's always been my attitude, you know. I've been, you know, playing sort of regularly now with a bolt action for about 4 years. And yeah, it was just sort of yeah, it was a long process, I'm not gonna lie. But I really enjoyed the challenge of it. And I mean it's not just the actual shooting, it's so much more of that. It's the stalking, it's the staying
right
undetected, it's the hiding, it's learning how to craft the suits to, you know, there's just so much that I love about it. Mm-hmm. And you know, much like you said earlier, the other thing is it introduced me to you know, a whole new community of people. And I've got to say, I'm absolutely blessed in terms of the people that, you know, I've sort of lucky enough to sort of play alongside. And not just that, some of the people that run like the airsoft shops. I mean, I've got to shout out like Jason at Longbow, absolute legend. Kenny at Empire. These two guys sort of, they're like the big sort of two go-tos for sort of bolt action, be it sort of be it the rifles themselves, like the
okay
parts.
Do they build? They like upgrade and
yeah, so
tweak them and stuff.
Yeah. They okay. Both sort of do that. Yeah, that sort of teching. But you know, they're mostly known for. I mean, like Jason at Longbow, he's known for his ammunition, for example. He does like okay. a sort of set of his own sort of BBs, which. I've got to say they're my sort of go-to choice. Kenya Empire, he does a lot of the concealment stuff, like the ghillies. He sells like Mustangs ghillies. So yeah. And then, yeah, not to mention like the guys that do some of the upgrade parts, like, Sniper Mechanics and Hadron. I don't know if you've come across them, like the Mark 23 TDC. Yeah. Which is like the ubiquitous mod that everybody goes to if they've got yeah. like a Mark 23 Hadron. You know, that's the guy. He's been, you know, such a help. He sometimes sends me sort of prototype bits to sort of to test out and to see if I can install them, because I'm an idiot as far as tech and concern. I mean, don't get wrong, look, I can you know, fix a rifle now, but sort of certainly right. a few years ago I was pretty poor, shall we say.
Me too.
I think his sort of thinking was, right, if that idiot can install it, anybody can. So let's see how he gets on, you know, and then if he gives me any feedback, you know, maybe we can look at sort of implementing that. So yeah, that was
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's always good fun. So yeah, like I say, I've been really lucky to sort of fall in with a really good crowd that have sort of welcomed me. Everybody's been really, really nice. And sort of, as I say, just dead helpful. The community in Airsoft is the thing that sort of makes it, the camaraderie, you know, especially at the, mm-hmm. the sites. You know, it's a special thing. It really is. And I absolutely love that. So yeah, I mean, I have got to give a mention to my running mate Lee and my other running mate Earl. So Lee's a bolt action sniper. He's got a little startup business called Bushy Ghillie Brothers, which is, he does a lot of like the ghillie suit crafting. So although I can craft, I'm pretty busy. So I tend to sort of hand my suits off to Lee. Lee's got more time on his hands, bless him. And he sits there for hours and hours and hours, you know, building like these things behind me.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
So yeah, he does an absolutely fantastic job. But yeah, we also play at the same local site quite a lot. And they generally won't let us play on the same team. so
a little, yeah, unbalanced.
I mean, not being big headed, but we've both got, you know, really good suits, really good mm-hmm. rifles. We both know the site pretty well now, although
right.
I'd give Lee the advantage in that regard. But then I've got a little secret weapon, which is my thermal scope as well. So
I see that on your videos, which yeah, I'm going to show here in a little bit. Yeah,
we'll come to that. So yeah, I've got to acknowledge that Lee's been a how can I put it? He's been one of the reasons that I ended up getting better, because I had to. I had no choice, because I was just getting nailed by that guy week in, week out. And it's like that saying of like iron sharpens iron. So as much as I hate going up against him, because I know it's going to be a challenging day, at the same time, I know it's making me better as a result. So, you know, I just have to suck it up.
Well, none of that, but you guys both know all your spots. So
Exactly.
it's like, okay, you've got it. You don't know which one you're going to be at first, but you
Sure.
can kind of look, kind of have an idea of where to look. So it makes it more difficult, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean he's not a bad shot either, unfortunately. But I mean that being said, when we go play like an away day, as it were, obviously we don't have that issue, so we can play on the same side, and it's good. It's good to have sort of people that you know how they think. I mean, one of the things running like even as a pair when you gill it up, it does kind of make me laugh because naturally you do lose sight one another. I mean, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't realize until they wear a ghillie for the first time is your situational awareness is reduced by a significant factor. You're wearing
Absolutely.
sort of mesh goggles, so
No
you can't
peripheral.
see quite as well. Your peripheral's gone.
Yep.
If you're wearing, as I tend to, I wear one of Mustang's chef hats, the Misfit sort of type
Nice.
thing, to break up the shoulder line. I'm a big believer in those. But one of the downsides with having anything obviously over your ears is, you get a certain amount of muffling, even though it is mesh. But at the same time, every time you move, that suit makes noise that only you can really hear. So as I say, your overall sort of situational awareness just goes low.
It's way down.
It's way down. And a lot of the time people do catch you out just through the fact that you just don't catch on quick enough. Sometimes you don't pick them out, especially if they've got their wits about them. I mean, there's again at the local site, there's a guy, Ryan, who's ex-forces, and he doesn't wear a ghillie. He just wears normal MTP, but that guy can get around the site quietly as anything. He's always like flanking, and the next thing you know, there's just a pistol pointing at you, and you're just like, yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
That's funny.
he's another one of those players. But yeah, so going back to when you're working as like a ghillie squad, you naturally lose sight of one another. You
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Your awareness is down, and if you're doing what you should be doing, sometimes, because that's the other thing, you don't want to be too close. This is something that a lot of people don't necessarily realize, especially new players, and they see a ghillie and they sort of go wandering up to them, and it's like, you're drawing attention to me, because it doesn't matter where you get hit, how hard you get hit. If someone sprays the area and you get caught out by accident, it still counts, so it's like, stay 5 meters away, please, in the nicest possible way, do one. So yeah, and the same thing goes obviously when you're stalking through a site. You don't want to be too close to one another, but if you don't stay close, you end up losing one another. But
Now, do
Lee
you
and I
guys, if
have
you run together, do you guys use comms at all? It's probably
we
really
do.
difficult in those suits.
Yeah, we do and we don't. I mean, one of the things that I have just picked up is actually it's like a Bluetooth adapter for my radio, so I can have like a set of wireless earbuds in with transparency mode on, and then obviously you can just talk and listen as normal. But the only thing I found is the battery life's not great on them. It'll get you through like a morning game. You might need to sort of chuck them on a power bank, and then you're all right maybe for the afternoon. But if it was like a milsim, you got no chance. But I mean, that being said, I say we can kind of we know how one another thinks now, so it's quite often we'll get split up. Maybe one of us gets taken out, and we have to go back to respawn. You just sort of think, right, if I was that knobhead, where would I go? I bet he's somewhere over there. And the next thing it's like, you're right, mate. So yeah, that's always good fun.
Now, did you guys meet at the field? I forgot what you how you guys met.
Yeah, we actually met at the local site, and Lee was on the other team, and being his typical unfriendly self, he's not the most approachable of guys.
That's a nice way to say it. Yeah, you're being
He's
nice.
gonna kill me later. He's gonna kill me later. And yeah, we've been having a bit of a firefight, and I'd taken him out, and I wasn't sure if I'd hit him initially, so I'd still got the gun up, and then there was another guy behind him, which I don't think he clocked. So I was still keeping the gun up and still pointing at him, and he was getting really wound up because he was like, "Put my hand up, I'm dead already," And I'm like, "Dude, there's a guy behind you." But after that, we ended up sort of chatting a bit more because we've got a mutual friend, Earl. Earl's the local gun tech, so we kind of ended up speaking more sort of through him, and then we got to know one another, and then yeah, yada yada, and the rest is history, as they say. So,
Now, what field do you guys play at? And what area are you guys in the UK?
so we are. Both in Stoke-on-Trent, or just outside Stoke-on-Trent. We're actually really lucky. There's quite a lot of sites in the local area. Sort of within, just over an hour's drive, there's, a good choice. It really is a good number. But the one that we tend to play at is North Staffs Airsoft, which is, a relatively small site, but there's a really good sort of clique of local players that are there, sort of as regulars. Like I say, we do get sort of people come in from outside, but generally, compared to a lot of the sites, the numbers are a bit lower, which has sort of pros and cons, I suppose, to a certain extent.
Sure.
I mean, for us sort of working as ghillie snipers, it's kind of nice to have sometimes a smaller team to go up against, because you're not stumbling into people all the time. It gives you the
Exactly.
opportunity to sort of stalk a little bit more and think about your positioning. So, like I say, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, you can't get into a good position if you got a
You're
hundred people
constantly
on the
being
other
spotted. Of
team
course not. No,
going crazy.
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's a nice little site. It changes a lot through the years. The seasons really affect the amount of foliage. I mean, obviously every site
Sure.
changes, but I mean this place, when it's about now that it starts to go green, hence why my green suit's out.
Gotcha.
And it when it goes green, this place goes green. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
it's your
I'll
sight
bet.
lines just get taken out to the point where, to be honest, running a bolt action becomes a bit of a liability, because
I'll bet.
you're always running into people sort of within your minimum engagement range. So, we tend to run sort of normal AGs or something during the summer. I mean, I switched over to so okay, hand on heart, I'm a big Silverback fan. I've got sort of all of their rifles, so I picked up the MDR when that was released earlier on. And so yeah, this time of year I'll switch over to the MDR, set up as a marksman rifle, so it's semi only. And then yeah, once we start getting back to the end of summer, then yeah, I'll switch back out to the bolt action. But I've got to say, this weekend I'm going to be running a bolt action. I'm going to be running my TAC 41, because one of the guys that I was speaking about earlier, Hadron and Sniper Mechanics, they recently released a TDC for this rifle. And so I picked that up the other week, installed it, and oh my God, what a difference it's made. This it's like it's like it's like a new gun. I'm like, Jesus,
Oh,
man,
that's cool.
I need to use it. I need to game with it. So
Right.
even though we're sort of going to be a little bit restricted with the sight lines, I just want to give this rifle a run this weekend. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That's cool,
So
man. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of different people in the UK on this podcast, and I've heard of so many different airsoft sites out there, like Dirty Dog and
We're so lucky in the UK. We've got so many sites. There really are. And I mean, okay, for I'm sort of thinking of the difference between sort of UK distance and American difference, distance rather.
You know, I never
What
realized that.
Americans?
I really
Well,
did
of
not
course,
realize that
it's
until I had the first few people on from the UK, and they're like, "Oh, we went over here, and it was, not that far." I was like, "Oh, okay." It's like, yeah, not like the US where, because I was talking, I think on one of them, I was talking about driving my daughter out to from South Carolina to Utah, and that's like 2,000 miles, okay? And they were like, "Oh, yeah, that's no, we don't drive that far to."
No, I mean, the one thing I will say that's obviously different is the infrastructure. The roads in the UK are obviously a lot more sort of congested. We don't have the same infrastructure. We can't get around as quickly and as easily. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking back. We visited Florida a few years back, and over Christmas, and my wife ended up. Oh, she spilled some scalding hot water all over her, and we ended up getting airlifted into Orlando Hospital. And then,
oh my god!
But yeah, I know. That was on Christmas Eve as well. It was just like, oh,
whoa,
honestly,
what?
You can't make it up. Yeah. So the next few days, Christmas Day, we needed to go pick up some prescription stuff from a pharmacy.
And sure.
The nearest one that was open was like 40 miles away. Now we were just like, oh, what? You know, that's like, that's a mission in 3/4 for, you know. But of course, it's not too bad in the US because obviously, like I say, once you get on the highway or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes or 40 yeah. minute drive or something, yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Not the end of the world, but yeah. Right. I mean, compared, like I say, most people will travel for an airsoft game. I'd say most people will travel about an hour.
Yeah,
you don't really want to be doing much more than that unless it's something special, you know,
right.
like a festival or, you know, where you're going to be getting hundreds and hundreds of players or whatever.
So you guys visited Florida. What part? Like by the beach?
Yeah, like I've been Miami a few times, okay. all over there, around there, Orlando.
Nice.
That's mostly where I've
Disneyland
been,
sort of, kind of area.
Yeah, just ticking the boxes for the kids, as it were.
Oh, absolutely, man. Of course. How old are your kids?
16, very nearly 17, and 12. So two okay. boys.
Yeah. Three boys. Nice.
Two boys.
Oh, two boys. Boys. Okay.
Yeah. yeah. And a lot of dogs. There's dogs everywhere in this house.
Okay. yeah. Well, my wife and I have 5 kids. They're all in their 20s now.
Right.
Yeah, oldest one is 29, youngest one is 22. They're all married except the oldest one. And right. yeah, he's actually, him and the middle son are two of the ones that, the inspiration that started this channel. So they got involved in Airsoft in their early 20s. This is 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And with a friend that they grew up with that's real close around here. And I was coming out of this illness. I was like, hey, I need something to do. So I said, hey, let me film this stuff. This is cool, you know, all these cool looking airsoft guns. So we started the channel doing airsoft unboxings. So the mystery boxes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And reviews. I got to handle all these guns. And yeah, it was really cool, man. So that was the first 2.5 years of our channel, years of our channel. And then as they got older, they got married, they got houses, they got, you know, promotions at work and that kind of thing. And so they stopped playing airsoft and I started doing the podcast because I wanted to continue something on the channel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so my oldest son, he is part of the how the channel started. But yeah, so we, my wife and I, we've been together a long time, and with all these kids and stuff growing up, we're empty nesters now, like they're all moved out.
Yeah.
So the last one moved out like 1.5 years ago. And so having this, to be honest, has been really good for me to give me something to do. And my wife's like, I need a hobby. I'm like, yep. Cause I'm in here recording and posting and doing all these things, you know, and, she's like, you get to talk to people all the time. I'm like, yeah, I know, it's fun, man. It's cool. But yeah, that's cool. So you guys, so any of your kids into airsoft?
Eldest has been a couple of times. I mean, I think the mistake I made is I took him when he was a lot younger. And
it hurt too much.
I mean, yeah, the first time he got nailed, it I think it was just the surprise as much as anything else, rather than the outright pain. My eldest is a gentle soul at heart, and he hasn't quite got that killer instinct. He certainly didn't then. As he's getting older, I'm starting to see sort of, you know, glimmers of it kind of thing, but it's like you just sort of need to turn the dial up a little bit on the aggression. He's too chilled out for his own good.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to sort of playing airsoft anyway. He's sort of, you know, bimbling around sort of, you know, what am I doing kind of thing, rather than, right, there's the objective, let's go do that. Uh-huh. You know, you kind of need to shepherd him a little bit. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's just an age thing, you know. As his head sort of, you know, clicks in as he gets a bit older.
Well, they all have their own personalities too, and that's kind of they're born with, you know. Like my oldest son, he's kind of the same way. You know, he's really chill. I think that's why he likes to go to these events. They only went to big 3-day MilSim events out here. So that was what they had gone to some other events, you know, smaller ones or 1-day indoor play and stuff like that, like the CQB stuff. They didn't really like any of that stuff. They liked the 3-day, and mostly because it is a camping excursion. Like,
yeah, it's a hangout. Much about the, yeah, it's the hangout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, for real. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, I don't care if I go out there and play, whatever. I'll go out there and shoot, you know, and, but he'll raise his hand. Like if he even thinks he got shot, you know, okay, whatever. Like he's really chill that way. So
yeah, I mean my two lads, the youngest, like I wouldn't give him a gun. Like I'd be like, nah, he's like polar opposite. It's like, nah, I'm not giving you.
He'll shoot everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like when he gets a little bit older, maybe, you know, I can trust him a bit more. But at the minute, it's just like, nah, everybody's getting shot.
That's awesome. How did you and your wife meet? Did you guys meet in school or something?
Now we're going back. We've been together like 20 odd years. So, we met at university. One thing kind of led to another, as they say, you know.
Oh, sure.
When
you know, you know. It's...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, we always sort of joke about it, but, you know, yeah, we knew within like a couple of weeks. It's just like, yeah, you just click with someone, don't you? Yeah,
absolutely. You know, that's how my wife and I were. We went on a first date and we got home. Later we found out, you know, I told my dad, yep, that's the one I'm going to marry. And she told her dad, same thing. So we met in high school and we didn't get married until a few years later, but yep.
Yeah, like you say, when you know, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so you go sniping. You got was Kicking Mustang one of the ones that before you started playing that you saw that kind of inspired you to?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, there's like I say, I think it's this. How can I put this like in a? It's going to sound a bit weird, but I suppose there's like a mystique about the sniper.
Be it,
you know, real steel or whatever. There's just something, be it like, you know, gaming and, you know, everybody wants to be the sniper.
Oh,
you know, because I don't know, there's just something about that one shot, one kill, you know, long range kind of deal. And, you know, I think that was one of the biggest surprises when I actually picked up an airsoft bolt action. It's like, you haven't actually got that much more range. You're not really a sniper. You're kind of, you're still in the thick of it. You just... You're only maybe 15, 20 meters away from, you know, the AEG users. And I think that was part of the learning curve. You know, you rapidly find out that what they lack in that little bit of extra range, they make up for in like volume of fire.
Right.
Yeah, and before you know it, you're suppressed and then that distance is closed, especially if there's a couple of them. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, that was part of that learning curve, being a lot more selective with your engagements, making sure that, you know, if you take that shot, you need to know that you're going to land it, because that's the other thing, isn't it? That one sort of thing that people forget with airsoft is, of course, the natural reaction is when you get hit, you look at where you've been hit from. you just can't help it.
You can't help it.
You get clattered in the back of the head. The first thing you're going to do is turn around and then put your hand up. And then you know that you're eyeballing.
Like, okay,
you know,
dead men don't talk or point or look at you, okay?
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, that would be the way that worked. But yeah, that's the thing. So it's, you know that if they have clocked you, the first thing they're going to do is come straight back at you. So, you know, you need to be, you know, that little bit more selective sometimes about, you know, when you do go for a shot.
Right.
Just to make sure that you stay undetected, especially as you say, if you've spent like 15, 20 minutes getting into position, you know, to lose that, it can be heartbreaking sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people realize if they've never played sniper, and I have not played sniper in airsoft, whatever, but I used to crawl in the woods when I was growing up. When I got my first BB gun, air rifle, it was a pump action Daisy one pump. Okay. And I went out,
nice.
I was like 12. We had a woods behind our house when I was growing up. And nobody was out there. I was the only kid that went out in this woods, which I loved. Yeah. So I would crawl in the leaves and just find a spot and sit there and wait for all the natural habitat to come back, rabbits and squirrels and birds. And most of the time I didn't even shoot at them. I just sat there and watched them. Yeah. I had this squirrel come up and crawl over my arm like run across me because I had put leaves on me. And I loved it, man. It was just, no one knew. I didn't tell my friends or not. There was no bragging right. It was just for me.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
so I've had getting in those positions, I get.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is one of those things that that's part of the fun, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you saw, like, I posted up a thing on X the other day. We were sort of stalking through the local site and a hare came running towards us and it was just like, oh my God. Yeah. All I saw on, well, initially the thing that sort of made me look that way is the thermal. I just saw a heat source. Now, I mean, obviously on the airsoft field, generally we don't see that much wildlife because it's scared off by the noise or whatever.
Sure.
So yeah, I just seen this heat source in the distance and I was bringing the rifle up and then this hare pops out and just comes like charging towards me. I was like, no way. I was like, get the rifle out of the way. You're not getting hit, man. You know. So, yeah,
it can take a long time to get in those positions. And you're right, man. You want to be selective. I think a lot of people probably could relate if they've ever played certain video games like Sniper. I think there's a video game with Sniper where you crawl into position. You want to take this shot. But if you do, this patrol over here is going to know where you're at. And they've got four guys. So now, like, okay, I got to wait. I mean, there's a lot of patience involved.
Yeah, I mean that's also part of the fun with the tech side, like the gunsmithing side. I mean, it's not always about sort of outright power, outright range, and all the rest of it. I mean, certainly in the UK, I mean, our power limits compared to the rest of the world are pretty moderate. We're allowed like 2.32 joules typically on both sides.
I love that.
The one thing that does allow you to do is to tune the rifle to be a lot quieter compared to a rifle that's putting out maybe twice the power. I mean, I've got, again, go back to the silverback rifles. I've got one of the HTIs, which is like the 50 cal ginormous thing. I mean, it's pretty much as tall as me with like an elite iron suppressor on the top of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely impractical for UK limits because...
But it looks cool.
Oh, it looks cool, isn't it? I mean, it's just one for the safe zone. You just put that out on the bipod and everyone just goes, oh shit. Don't want to get shot by that, you know. But of course, because our power limits are, you know, relatively low, the SRS, which is like the little brother to the HTI, much more practical. It can develop and generate the same amount of power, but it's in a much smaller package. It's a lot more pointable, you know, for want of a better turn of phrase. You know, you can't really point the HTI especially quickly because it's like 1.5 meters long, you know. It's something you want to be fun with.
Right.
But the one thing that the HTI has got, which is ridiculous, is the cylinder size and the piston size is absolutely like humongous. It's like, I think it's 70 something cubic centimeters, which is just ridiculous.
Wow.
I mean, to be honest, it would have been better off as like an 8 mil BB rather than a 6 mil BB. You know, it really should have been, you know, designed that way, but there we go. So as a result, because of this huge piston, it can dual creep absolutely ridiculously.
Okay.
It's got like a 730 mil barrel as well, which, you know, means you can have like really sort of low powered springs and it will still generate a lot of juice. So just for a giggle, one day we decided to set it up. So I don't know what the chrono's like in for games in the US, but I mean typically over here you'll see sort of two systems used, one of which I agree with and one of which I don't. So the one system that people will use is FPS on a 0.2.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. So I mean we're sort of typically 350 for AEGs, you know, assault rifles, pistols, shotguns, whatever. A marksman rifle is either 400 or 450 depending on the site, and then your bolt action is 500. So we sort of thought, right, let's just have a giggle and see how much dual creep we can get from this HDI. So yeah, I set it up so it was running at like 497 FPS on a 0.2 and then switched it out for heavyweight ammo. And then chronoed it on jewels. And yeah, some sites would classify this as being legal because if they chrono on a 0.2, it would pass. But
that's a good point.
you switch that ammo and suddenly this thing was just under 5 joules. Which,
isn't that crazy? You
know, yeah. And I mean, we
that's why so a lot of sites over here have switched to joules because of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, certain rifles will joule creep like mad, and the HJI is, you know, absolutely no exception. so for a laugh, we took it out on the range that's at the local site, and we're sending rounds down, and you know, it's going a long way clearly. And then one of the guys is like, I want to get shot by that. I'm like, you want to go, what? He's like, no, I want to see what like 5 joules feels like. I'm like,
oh your my head God.
Be it. On your head be it, you know, I'm not gonna
five
say
joules.
No,
that's crazy, bro.
So anyway, he wanders down the bottom of the range, and I mean, he, don't get me wrong, we were a fair way away, so I mean, he was probably sort of 50-60 meters. And bear in mind, because this wasn't a rifle that I was using that day, I hadn't actually got an optic on it. So I'm kind of eyeballing.
Okay. this rifle. Might hit you in the face. I don't know. Okay. Just be prepared.
He turned around. So okay. Shooting into the back. Yeah. And yeah, we stuck a couple of rounds down, and like the first couple missed. But the thing that he said to me was, and this is going back to that 5 joule versus 2 joule thing, is the noise of the round coming past you. Like when it's like 2 joules, if you miss, unless you're really on it, you don't really hear the round come past you unless it's very, very close.
Sure.
When it's coming past you, you know, with 5 joules worth of energy, it's a whole different kettle of fish. It is tearing the air. That thing goes whipping past you. And even if it misses, you know, everybody knows that they're being shot at. Everyone's going to start. You know, and so... Yeah, I mean that's the one thing. You know, you can sort of set that rifle up to be you know, very, very powerful. But yeah, again, it comes back to taking that shot. You've got to make sure that you are definitely going to hit them, because if you miss, everybody knows that you're there on that sort of power. I know that some of the Scandinavian countries, they typically play games with that sort of power limit. You know, I mean, we actually switched over. I let them shoot me. It's only fair. And to be honest, it wasn't actually that bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want to get shot in the head by it. I think it would definitely ring your bell. But yeah, getting shot in the body wasn't actually that bad. You know, certainly, again, I was wearing, you know, the leaf suit. So it because they're so baggy, you know, to break up your shape, they do sort of absorb, you know, a certain amount of energy when you get hit by it. So, you know, it wasn't that bad. It was no worse than being hit by a normal power rifle at, say, 30 meters.
Right, the normal range, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I reckon, you know, if you've got a 5-joule rifle, if you just got, like, a minimum engagement range of, like, say, 50 meters, it wouldn't actually be that bad. But obviously, you've just got the ability to reach out that much further. We did actually laser range find it, and it was hitting 105 meters flat. That was before the hop was actually even kicking in.
Whoa.
And we hadn't got anything that we could actually range find, because it backed onto like an open field, so we hadn't got anything that we could bounce off in order
that
to see how far it was going. So I mean, you know,
what weight DB?
4.5.
Wow, dude, that's crazy. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we were hitting trees at like 105 meters, and you could hear it crack, you know, and it's
so
just flat. No lobbing.
Anyone in America that's not familiar with meters, like, you can't picture it in your head. This is over a football field. So if you're standing American football, so if you're standing at the end zone in one end, you're shooting the goalpost at the other end with 0.45
and no elevation
weight BBs. That is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is impressive.
I mean, it's like I say, it's just a shame. Certainly in the UK, you know, you'd never be, well, I say you'd never be allowed on a field. That's the problem. And that was the point I was proving, that you would be allowed on some sites with that rifle, you know. God forbid, though, you know, silly stuff.
When I played paintball, you know, this is all the way back in the 90s, and I mean, those things hurt. You know, they're chronoed at like 300 feet per second.
Yeah, it's a big old
obviously they go
it?
By feet per second, because there's no, you can't change the
yeah,
weight of the ball
is.
Of the paintball. Yeah. Everything's standard weight, whatever. Honestly, I don't even know how much they weigh. I just know they're 0.68 caliber. But they have so much weight to them.
Yeah.
That I don't know what the jewels would be equivalent to, but man, they hit hard. Like they slap.
Yeah. You get caught on a hand and you know about it.
It's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, these, so speaking of the long range stuff too, I had some people on from Canada. They have a group that they only focus in their airsoft. They only focus on, long range shooting. So they're called, their company's called ELR, Extreme Long Range.
Yeah. I think
have you heard of them?
I've heard of those girls. Yeah. Yeah.
So I met this, I didn't even know about them at first. I met this girl, on where I meet most of you guys, you know, online on a YouTube channel or an Instagram page or something. And it was, her Instagram was Sniper Chick. So I followed her stuff and I was like, hey, this looks cool. You know, their group, they literally go out and practice. They don't practice shooting as much as they do stalking. They're all about the stalk. Mm-hmm. And I was really interested in hearing about this stuff. So I had her on, and then I had somebody from that group on. Actually, two more guys from that group from ELR. It was really interesting. And they were talking about how they've been working on trying to get farther and farther shots with higher weight BBs, and they were talking like 0.45s, 0.5s even for weight and BB. I was like, man, that's pretty impressive. You know,
I've always been a fan of the 4.5 over the 4.8 or the 5. It was something that Jason, as I say, from Longbow BB, he sort of, because I was always like, well, bigger's got to be better. and, you know, he sort of was like, you should try a 4.5 a bit more. Because you tend to find that the flight path is slightly flatter. So a 4.8 tends to have a little bit more of a trajectory to it, which can be useful. I mean, sometimes if you're clearing an obstacle, sometimes you can,
right, you can sort of
drop. Yeah, you can drop the shot on people. You know, you can turn the hop up down a little bit and drop the shot down. But yeah, the 4.5 is a bit more of a point and click kind of experience. You know, it is that just that little bit flatter. Okay, you sacrifice perhaps, you know, a little bit of range, but it's negligible, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I think, and so, yeah, as I say, he converted me to sort of using 4.5s, and I think I'm slowly converting everybody else at the local site anyway to sort of follow my line of thinking, because it means whenever I try to buy 4.5s now, they're always bloody sold out because all my mates have bought.
Dang it, like, your secret got out, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So yeah,
that's funny.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's probably easier to. When you stay consistent with your ammo, it's probably easier to sight in your scope. Like when you go out, you go, okay, I know what it's set on. I know with these BBs, this brand with this weight, this is what it's going to shoot. I can aim right here, like on the crosshair or, you know, real close. Whereas if you change a lot of the weight and stuff back and forth, you're going to have to, you know, ramp it up or down or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the other things in terms of that's a personal choice, I suppose, in terms of your hop setup. It's some people prefer to have a very, very minimal hop so that the BB doesn't lift above the center. Like once you've zeroed your scope, they don't want it ever going above the horizontal line on your crosshair. So they know that they've always got a hold over potentially at further distances, and they get very good at sort of eyeballing that. Some people prefer to have a slight lift with the hop, which is the way I kind of do it. But then I, like I say, there's pros and cons. The way I look at it, I'm generally aiming sort of center mass or neck, which means if the BB's dropping off, it's going to hit them in the chest. And if they're at that range where the hop starts to lift, it's catching them in the face, you know? So, it means that if someone's peeking, you know, from like over a barricade or whatever, it's a bit more tricky, I suppose, if you hop set up that way. But arguably, you do get a little bit more range. So it's one of those sort of personal choices as to how you do it. But as you say, you can learn it. Obviously, you know, you do sort of get to eyeball it. You know.
Well, yeah, that's the good thing with, you know, when you have a rifle that you like and you're good with.
Yeah, you run with.
You want to eliminate other variables. So your weapon and how, you know, all the internals and how it shoots should try to stay, you want to try to keep it as close to that as possible. And then, consistent, and your ammo, use the same. Once you find a brand and a weight that you like, stick with that.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then the rest of it is on you. So now, you know, okay, you jerk the trigger. Dang it. Okay. You missed.
That's it. Yep. It's on you.
You didn't squeeze it or whatever. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a certain amount of that. I think you've also got to realize and come to accept that you're dealing with a smooth bore.
Yeah, exactly.
Round projectile and wind.
And a little bit of leaves and maybe a branch here and there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's uh-huh. one of the biggest frustrations, I think, with sniping, with airsoft rifles. It's that the tiniest leaf or twig, you know.
See
ya. And you see the BB deflect off.
It's gone.
Like I said, a few months back, Lee. I'm getting onto the thermal scope here. So when I first had the thermal, the beauty is with it, the scope that I use has actually got a daytime channel in it as well as the thermal. So it's a multispectral.
Mm. Okay.
And then when you look through the viewfinder, you see the, it's got like a picture in picture mode. So there's like a small, overlay at the top and you can cycle between the two. So you could have it so that the thermal is the main screen, which is the way I tend to use it. So that way, it's on like a 2x zoom and you get like the ability to spot using the thermal.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you then look at whatever it is you're looking at, you can then switch to the daytime screen that's at the top, which is like a 10% version, which is on like a 4x zoom. So you can still watch the BB, because that's the problem with thermal and airsoft. If you're only running thermal, you can't really see the BB, which for a bolt action is kind of critical to, because if you do miss that first shot, it's like, well, where do I now need to re-aim in order for the follow-up shot? Yeah,
that's right.
So without that, it's a problem. But the other cool thing is, with it being a digital scope, it means that it's got onboard memory, so you can record from the scope itself. You don't need another
cam type of thing.
You don't need a scope cam. No, itself records. So I had a scope prior to that. I had an ATN, 4K Pro, which is another digital scope. And when I bought my new scope, I gave that one to Lee to sort of long-term borrow, as it were, so he could start getting some footage and stuff as well. And we were having like a duel one day, and he fired at me, and I think the wind took the shot away. I fired at him, and it just literally, like, say, talking about twigs, there was just the thinnest of like bloody twigs, like about halfway between the pair of us, and my shot you just watch it going in. You can, you know, frame by frame it. And you just see it just ping off, and I'm, you know, and then I'm watching him rack the bolt, you know.
Oh, no.
Ah.
You know what's coming.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of your scope and that kind of thing, I want to pull up your YouTube channel, if you don't mind.
Yeah, by all
means. Share the screen.
I've actually got it here.
Oh, yeah. Let's see that first. Dude. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, she's
that is a nice looking scope.
So it's the Pulsar Thermion Duo. They do two models. They're pretty much the same, but the only difference between the two is like the base magnification of the thermal channel. So this one is a 2x zoom, which for spotting purposes, certainly at airsoft ranges, is ideal. Anything, I mean, typically when I'm, you know, running an optical,
let's just go over all the details on your gun there. So what kind of gun is it? What
So
stock,
this is,
looks amazing. The butt stock looks awesome, dude.
Yeah, this is, I'm trying to physically fit it in.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So this is a Silverback TAC-41A. It's the aluminium stock. It's had a lot of work done to it. So the front end, I don't know if you'll be able to see, but it's all carbon outer barrel, carbon suppressor, just to shift the weight back slightly. There's the, I don't know if you'll be able to see the hop-up dial, which is sort of newly released.
So it's top-down center?
Yeah.
The hop-up, that's awesome.
Top-down center, so this has got a Sniper Mechanics Wasp piston in it. It's got the Silverback gas blowback, hot chamber with a Flamingo 60 in it, which is the sniper mechanic booking. Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really nice bit of kit. Personally, though, I prefer the SRS of the, like, that is my normal sort of go-to rifle for sniping. Sorry, just putting that down there. Just because, well, I suppose that's another thing that's a little bit weird about me. I'm a big bullpup lover. I kind of collect ugly bullpup rifles. I'm sort of known for.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
I have this thing about. I don't like the AR-15 platform.
Yeah, you know what? That's a lot more people are starting to not. You know, they want to try other things because it's such a common thing.
Yeah,
like everyone has them. Everyone uses them. Everyone just uses that as the base, and they build onto it, and it's
absolutely
it's kind of overdone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I've always been. Yeah, a bit weird. I like being a bit different, I suppose.
Sure.
So, yeah, bullpups, since I had the SRS, it was like, yeah, I've got a few weird and wonderful things, and I've got a lot of Russian gear, which is a bit politically incorrect at the minute, but the way I kind of look at it.
It didn't used to be, okay.
Well, yeah, I suppose it was like I don't play a great deal of milsim, but I suppose it just gave me the option to play on like op 4 side. So yeah, I started collecting sort of Russian stuff before it all kind of kicked off. I suppose I'm the reason that Putin's guys have kind of got no gear.
Right. So what kind of bullpups? I'm trying to think of the one that we had. The first one we got out of a mystery box. No, the first one was a P90. No, that's not a bullpup.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The P90 and what's the Steyr AUG?
Okay. Yeah.
We had one of those, and it actually we never did a we never finished or fully did a review video on it because when we took it out, every time we would get a gun, right before we would go out to review it, we would put a mag in and try to, you know, just test it out real quick, make sure okay, we can film this thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And about 4 or 5 shots in, it broke. So I said, oh shit. It was a used gun. It was one of the EVIC BOAs, and they say in there when, you know, okay, if you get it's gonna be
it
a used
is what
gun.
It is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So it was fine. But it looks cool. It looks cool. So what's your favorite bullpup?
Oh god, now you're sort of putting me on the spot. I don't know. I mean,
what's the Royal Air Force use? Is it the Type 98 or something, or Type 96?
Our guys were using like the SA-80, weren't they? The reworked version of that. Yeah, that, I mean, again, that's one that never really tickled my fancy. I sort of go for the more unusual stuff. So I mean, I've got like a Sockar, which is it was a German assault rifle, but never actually got used in service. But yeah, pretty standard bullpup looky kind of thing. Obviously I've got the MDR, I've got all the silverback rifle, like the Desert Tech stuff. So I've got the SRS, the HTI, the MDR. What else have I got? Going back to weird Russian stuff, I've got an SVU, which is sort of like the bullpup Dragunov, which is a bit weird. It's one of the most uncomfortable rifles to use. It really is. The pistol grip and the mag is so close to the pistol grip, it means if you've got sort of anything other than dwarf hands, there's no way you are getting a comfortable grip on that thing. You're off at like a weird angle. But it's, you know, it's a funny looking thing and I kind of like it. I suppose there's a lot to be said for the Russian ergonomics, and in all their rifles, it's always a bit weird and wonderful.
Right.
I mean, Silverback have actually just announced that they're doing the VKS. It's the 12.7 mil subsonic sniper, which they're going to use in sort of SRS internals apparently for that. And as soon as I saw that they'd announced that, it was like, I'm in day one. That's it. I'm game. Put me down to one now. You know, get it over it. You know, that ticks like my bullpup box, my Russian box, and my silverback box. It's just like, yeah, that's it. Like,
all right.
I'm in.
Let's see your YouTube channel here. Because you've got
there's Lee. There's Lee with a
right here.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny one. Which one is that actually? Cat's not. Yeah. This is actually from Lee's point of view. So we were playing a game where it was just a basic death match, but you only have like one life. And so like I was one of the few left on my side. So this is Lee just taking people out. and then I managed to get him. I see him sneaking. And so, yeah, so say this is his point of view. And it's kind of funny because it shows you how well my suit actually blends in with that background. And watching this back, there I am. And there's no way you would have seen that coming.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, exactly. No one is finding you.
No.
Holy cow.
And then next thing you know, whack, and he's on his back.
So you shot him. You saw him, but he didn't see you.
Yeah, he hadn't got a clue.
Oh, that's amazing, bro. What?
Yeah. And that one left him bleeding, unfortunately.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
So yeah, somewhere in there, there's the other point of view. And yeah, unfortunately, as I say, with the thermal, there's no escaping it. I mean, and to be honest, I've got to sort of freely admit that the reason I bought the thermal was because I was sick of having my backside kicked around by that man.
You needed an equalizer. You got it.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I suppose it's one of those things, you know, people sort of say, you know, thermal and airsoft, no, it's just pay to win. Yeah, I suppose it is to a certain extent, but you know, it is what it is. If you can afford it, then you know, why wouldn't you? You know,
yeah. I was gonna say, I think these are the ones that I saw.
Some of the shorts. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Shorts tend to get so much more traction.
Man. Yeah,
this is the.
But look at how well that works, bro.
Yeah, I mean the thing with like barricades and stuff like that is a lot of the time where there's small gaps in between the panel and another bleeder. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know, I collect selfies afterwards if anyone's left with a head mark. Yeah, I mean the panels, you quite often will see where like a barricade is and there's a slight gap. A lot of the time, if you're looking through a, you know, glass scope or whatever, you're just not going to see or realize that there's somebody behind it because the gap is so small. There's not enough light.
Exactly. That's what I love about this. So this is what you see in the scope.
Yeah, that's an example. Other than the fact other than the fact that's obviously a 9x16 ratio. If you can imagine when you see like the raw footage, obviously it's a lot wider.
It's full screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or wider.
But yeah, that's exactly what I'm seeing through the viewfinder.
I love what a perfect zoom difference between the two.
Yeah, each of the channels has got its own individual zero as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, I tend to run them very similar, but obviously it'd be more of an issue with a real firearm because of the difference in the height. I mean, if I show you the actual front end of the scope, I'll show you afterwards.
Yeah, show me after this because free tracheotomy.
yeah, that's Dave, poor lad. He was looking
nothing
down
like rubbing it in. Okay.
No, he was looking down the rifle and I took the shot and the hop sort of kicked the BB that little bit higher and he just drops the rifle just at the wrong time and then it hits him square right in the throat. And
it was like, probably would have hit the buttstock of the rifle.
Yeah, it would have been fine. Arm, yeah, but unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, right.
He's like, okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he needs sound for that one. That poor lad. He ran right into that, and it. Uh-huh. I think he got like a sort of padded jacket on. It's just the slap that the BB makes when it lands on that guy, and you just hear like. Lee was marshalling that day and he just absolutely wets himself laughing. just the guy screams.
Awesome. Right.
But
that's
yeah.
Cool. So now you got, so on your channel, what inspired you to start a YouTube channel in the first place?
I think it was mostly, I mean, I started it just as a means of recording the fun a way of looking back later on because I mean when I first got the previous scope and suddenly had the ability to record it was just nice being able to watch the footage back for myself more than anything. I've never really sort of done like the whole numbers chasing thing. I mean, sure, obviously, if I put a video out, I'll sort of, you know.
Yeah, you wanted to get.
Well, I used to put it on my Instagram. My Instagram is now so heavily locked down. It's untrue. You know, you think
welcome
I was
to
like,
the club, bro.
Oh man, you'd think I was some crazy sort of mass murderer. You know,
I'm trying to get all my friends that I met through here to come over to Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I know it's X. Whatever,
to
Twitter, bro. Please.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, the lack of censorship is just
it's
so
wonderful,
refreshing.
And it, it has the same features.
You can say gun without being like restricted.
No shit, dude. I love it. Yes. Well, that's why I say like, you know, we don't self-censor on here. We just talk freely because I put these, the videos go on Rumble as well and Spotify videos. So those two don't censor this kind of stuff. So, but if it doesn't get, you know, seen on YouTube, I don't mind. I'm not going to cut things out. I don't edit these, as far as the content of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're good. But I wish we could just get the majority of the airsoft community to come over to Twitter because
it really needs to. I mean, most of UK airsoft is still on Instagram. And I noticed it about 9 months ago where I first got my first warning. Because I think I posted it was a video of me stalking some guy and I ended up getting a pistol kill with it. You know, very close range pistol kills, like, you know, a couple of meters away, managed to get right up on him. And then the next thing I know, like my account had been locked down so that only people that follow me can see anything that I post. None of my reels are now sort of publicly viewable. You can't search for me. And it was just like, oh, because I like to play with BB guns, you know,
toy guns.
Really, you know, it's clearly a toy gun. Christ, if I'd done that with a real firearm, that, you know, anyway, yeah,
so, yeah. Come over to Twitter, people. Okay,
come over to Twitter, honestly. Please. Yeah. You know, you don't have to worry about what you're posting in anywhere.
Actually, that's how I found you. Now that it was a comment you made on King Mustang's Twitter
post. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We need to get more people over there because.
So let me ask you this. All right. So you decide to start your YouTube channel. Okay. So you start getting recording equipment or whatever, right? You start getting set up. Did you do enough research to be able to have a smooth recording your first game, or was there any kind of obstacles in the way your first game? You know, a lot of people have the. Oh, I forgot to turn it on. It didn't stay on. It automatically shut off. The battery ran out. It was my head can't, my head mount. It just tilted down just enough to where I couldn't see anything. The end of my rifle, like.
Look, I would love to be able to say that it was a flawless experience and you know, I was great out the gate, but no. I mean, as I say, the scope side of things, I never had an issue with particularly because both of these rifles have got enough memory and enough battery to last an entire day.
That's awesome.
So the thermal's a bit more power hungry, but it's actually got a hot swappable battery. There's two sort of batteries. So there's one that's actually in the scope, which you have to charge up. And then there's the top turret.
Let's see it. Go ahead.
So that top turret is actually the external battery. So you can just sort of pop that off.
Oops, okay.
And there's the battery. So you can hot swap in the field. So when you take that out, it switches to the internal. So you can keep going and then that gives you enough time to then drop another battery in and carry on. So yeah.
That's amazing.
So before I forget,
when we're done, send me the links to the people you shouted out plus the scope there. Because I guarantee you some people would love to look into the scope. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, like I say, the scope side of things and even the previous scope that I was using, that actually has got 18 hour battery life off one battery, which is incredible, you know, like a whole day's worth.
That is insane. Yeah, it is.
I mean, you know, obviously there's costs to that in the sense of weight. You know, the weight of the scope is obviously significantly more than a comparable glass optic.
Get your arms in shape, boys.
Yeah, your left arm certainly knows about it, you know, holding that front end. You know. Again, right. That's another reason why I like bull pups, because I'm weak and I can, you know, there's more weight in the back.
Yeah, nice lazy day of airsoft. I'm carrying my bull pup instead of my 20-pound sniper. Okay.
That's the one, yep. so yeah, that's the thing with like the battery life. External cameras. Yeah. I've had a few teething issues recently with my, I run an X2, 360 camera, which I generally sort of stick on my shoulder, sort of covering, so obviously a 360. The memory card's been playing up in it, so it's been turning itself off. I mean, normally I run them, connected to like a power bank that's in my rig. So yeah. I just, again, big memory card, hit record at the start of the day and then just leave it to it.
Never worry about it. Yeah. Is there any awesome moments or shots or whatever that somehow didn't get recorded?
Yeah.
That you wish would have?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One in particular that really comes to mind. Another site that we sometimes go to, shout out to 6mm Airsoft in Rugeley. Absolutely incredible site. It's like 60 odd acres of woodland. It's quite an interesting woodland because there's a lot of relief in the actual field itself. So, you know, a lot of woodlands are generally pretty flat. This has got like valleys, dips. I mean, they used to sort of nickname it 6mm legs because the following day, you would know about it.
You had leg day, okay.
Going constantly up and down, up and down, up and down.
You dread going to the bathroom, sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, your legs are getting up.
Shot.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. The one game we were playing there, and there was a load of guys that were sort of stuck behind like the edge of a berm, and I just sort of walked in from respawn, and they're all sort of lying down behind this berm, and they're like, there's a sniper somewhere at the back there. And I was like, okay, all right. You know, I'm still stood up. They're all lying down. I'm stood up, and they're all like, you know, you absolute head case, you know, they're looking at me, giving me the eyes, like, get down, you're going to get took out. And I'm sort of saying, well, describe to me where he is. And they're sort of saying, I don't know. He's just somewhere that way, you know, pointing over there. And of course, this is where the thermal comes into its own. Just pick the rifle up, look in that direction, and all I can see is a head. Long, long way away. But he's on top. He's on like an elevated position, and he's obviously, you know, bipodded up, and he's loving it. He's just picking people off. So bear in mind, it was a standing shot, probably. And I mean, this is not airsoft meters. This is real meters. It's probably a 70-meter sort of, you know, standing shot, and yeah, first shot, domed him. So yeah, he seen put his hand up, and somebody That's else shouts, "Oh, there's yeah." Someone else shouts, "Oh, there's another one over there." And I'm like, again, first shot, bam, down. And like everyone's just like, God's sake, all we're gonna do is just tell you where they are. We'll just leave you to it, kind of thing. And then
you're the hero of the day, bro.
Yeah, for that moment. So I sort of take a seat, and then the next thing I see, there's a marshal walking up to me, and I'm like, oh God, what have I done? You know, because generally when a marshal comes up to you, it's not for anything good, is it?
Exactly.
And he says, "You just take a guy out that was up on that elevated position." And I was like, yeah. And he's like, shake my hand, bro. He says, wicked shot. You absolutely nailed him right between the eyes. He says, fair play. That was a wicked shot. I was like, you know what? I doff my cap back. You know, it's not often you get someone that acknowledges, you know, a sweet shot, right. I suppose. But the kicker was, yeah, unfortunately, I hadn't pressed record. I got it on the shoulder cam. So, I mean, I think it is actually on the YouTube channel. I mean, obviously, you see me take the shot. You just don't obviously
you
see
what
I
was seeing.
Yeah. And you see the marshal come up to me, kind of thing. But,
okay.
Yeah, I wished I'd got that.
That whole scene would have been great.
It would have been perfect.
With the audio, like where these guys are telling you, and you're just standing there, like, not, you know, just nonchalantly, like, okay, you know, I'm not afraid of getting hit, whatever, let me see where this guy is, and then you take him out. That's like a scene in a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been perfect, all for the fact I didn't press that bloody record button.
But well, I mean, look, I think, we got the story here, okay, that you told.
Yeah.
So we got it somewhere. And maybe we can take this part out and line it up with your shoulder cam. And I don't know.
Yeah.
But do without that scope cam view, man, it's really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's up here, though. That's the important
thing. It is.
Yep. I know it happened.
Exactly. And so do your buddies that were laying there behind the berm.
Well, yeah, quite. Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah. Yeah.
So what do you got? Do you play like every weekend, every other weekend? How often do you get
it? It depends. I mean, so ideally I like to get out like once a month.
Yeah.
I generally get out once a month, sometimes a couple of times a month. Just the joys of having your own businesses means that sort of we tend to work most days. So for me to have a day off, my wife and I have got like a couple of businesses and we,
what do you do?
Well, we've got a little pet shop. We've got like an online business as well, and we're just about to open a veterinary surgery. So our time is sort of
You're busy.
Pressed.
Yeah, you're busy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
there's a guy that's a sniper here in the UK or in the US. He's in Utah. His channel is K Factor 39. Okay. And he is a veterinarian.
Okay.
And and a dog trainer.
Right.
Or yeah, he has his own shop. So yeah, it's interesting. Okay. And he does same thing, man. I've had him on a couple times. He does the same similar type of videos with you know, he's known Kiki Mustang for a while. He's always asking him for advice and that kind of thing. And so yeah, very cool. Okay. So how did you guys get into that kind of business? Just loved animals and
just through our love of dogs, yeah. And yeah, just kind of went from there really.
Nice.
I mean the vets for us is like a big step because neither of us are vets. So we're going to be sort of running the practice and sort of being the practice managers as it were, but we're going to rely on clinical staff to do all the real work.
Absolutely.
So we just get to pet dogs that come in and try and keep people positive as much as we can. So yeah. So hopefully that'll open in the next month or so.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. Yeah. Good luck on that for sure.
Cheers.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, bro, it's been very interesting talking with you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank
it's
you
been
for
a
having
pleasure,
me.
Man, meeting you. Yeah, I appreciate all that you're doing on your channel. And everyone I've met so far in the Airsoft community is, just like yourself, is very welcoming, very honorable. And that's what they want to, that's the kind of stuff they want to spread on their channel.
Definitely.
And you know, with their gameplay on the field and off the field. So yeah, man, I appreciate what you're doing.
No worries. Absolutely.
I'll
send you some links over.
Send me
later.
Some links. And then
I'm going to find that shoulder cam video for you as well.
That would be cool, man. For real. Tell everybody where they can find all your stuff too.
It's, you know what? This is going to look bad, but I can never remember what my actual YouTube channel is actually off the top of my head. That's how little bit of a like I
I'm
say, it's a
at,
thing
you know
for
what?
Me more than anything.
Let's just pull it up real quick. I'll share it and then we'll go from there because it's got your right here at AJ Lowe.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yep. And then it has your Instagram on here too.
It's got my Instagram underneath, but as I say, unfortunately, my Instagram is mostly dead these days. I need to update that. I'll stick my Twitter on it.
I have your Twitter. Yeah. Yeah. Update that on your, for your Twitter, but I'll have all your links on here too.
Yeah. Cool.
Absolutely, man. It's been great. Thank you so much, dude.
Dude, thank you.
Shout out to all the UK players out there that I've had on the podcast. I've had a lot of them. And I love the UK fan base, and
it's a great
community. There's a lot of people in the UK that are into airsoft.
Yeah, there's got it. Well, as I say, because of our firearms restrictions, I think it's the only way we can really sort of get it out of system, as it were.
yeah, but I mean, shoot, man, it's, you guys. I think because of the community and stuff, the sites, there's a lot of places to play.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that show up. Driverwood and then Dirty Dog.
Yeah.
Like all these people I've talked to, they're like, yeah, there's like a 150, 200 people that show up on a Saturday. I'm like, what, for open play? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, holy cow, that's crazy, bro.
Six Mills very much like that. They'll sort of have typically 200, maybe 300 players.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Good luck. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you. No worries. Hope you have a good night.
Likewise. Again, all right. Thanks. Bye-bye. Once again. Take care. See you.